Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Sean Smith. He's the founder of Smith & Company, an author as well as a professional speaker. Sean, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile and I see a photo of you with a woman next to you, but on next to you, you have this really cool drawings of a brand and experience and emotional connection. And it's so funny and telling because you're an expert and emotional branding and talking about branding. It's all about that emotion. It's all that feel. So talk to us about this branded experience that you talk about with your clients.
Well, it really started a number of years ago when I was working for an American consultancy and specializing in customer service. And what became apparent, this was 20 odd years ago, was that service was rapidly becoming generic. It was becoming table stakes. And at the same time, a lot of organizations were really thinking about their brand. And it seemed to me that there was a gap between those two things, that if you could close it, if you could make a service experience which was distinctive and true to the brand, then that would be a powerful thing to do. And that was really the genesis of the notion around customer experience that we've been developing over the last 20 years. So a branded customer experience is one which is consistent, intentional, differentiated, and valuable to your target customers.
Yeah, it always fascinates me, Sean, because I travel a lot. And when, let's say, I go to a Ritz-Carlton where I'm giving a speech in Puerto Rico, and Ritz-Carlton has the Ritz-Carlton service or Waldorf Astoria service, and they're not really that mind-blowing things, meaning They look at you, they smile at you, they give you a handshake, they say, how are you doing, sir? And then if you go to, let's say, a three-star hotel or some other places where they don't even look at you. I mean, so what I'm saying is it fascinates me that this so-called elite luxury service, frankly, anyone can do it. So relative to what you're talking about, this branded experience, what are some brands that you've worked with or clients you've worked with? Just walk us through some of the transformation that you've helped your clients do.
Well, just before I answer that, let me address maybe the issue that you've raised, because you've put your finger on a very interesting issue there. And what I would say about that is there are two ways that a brand can differentiate, or any of your listeners can differentiate. One is by degree, and that is doing the same things but doing them better. And I would argue that's what Ritz-Carlton does. So they don't do anything very significantly different, but they do a lot of the basics just a bit better. And the other way of differentiating is by type, doing some things just dramatically different. So you may have heard of an organization called Six Senses Hotels and Resorts, which is based in Asia in the Maldives, but they do things dramatically different. But to answer your question, a good example, I suppose, was some years ago we were approached by Burberry, the luxury retailer, who wanted to increase their sales. And we started taking a look and we said, well, sales are a result of creating a great experience for your customers. So let's focus on your purpose and the experience. Now, Burberry's purpose is what they call democratizing luxury. So in other words, most luxury brands are somewhat aloof. You walk along Fifth Avenue or Champs-Élysées, Bond Street, and the first thing you see is a really sort of severe looking guy, usually dressed in black with a radio in his ear, right? It's not at all welcoming. So democratizing luxury was about being aspirational, yes, luxury, yes, but inclusive. And what you need to do in order to do that is to make it a really, really pleasant, welcoming experience. So that's what we worked on. And long story short, the following year, they had a sales increase of 50%. And Angela Ahrens, the chief executive at the time, wrote us a very nice note thanking us for our help. But the point being that the sales increase was as a result of creating an experience which was driven by the brand purpose, as opposed to being generic, as you talked about earlier.
That's a great point, Sean. And to elaborate on that example, the people that are listening, we have so many people that are entrepreneurs and executives, speaker, author, coaches, and they always ask me, Christopher, how do you build it up $20,000 for a speech? And I say to them, well, what do you build it at? And they might say $1,000 or $5,000, because if you're presenting yourself as a Target, Walmart, or Honda, and nothing wrong with those brands, by the way, and you're expecting a Ritz-Carlton price point, then there's a mismatch. And going back to what you're saying about the dramatic, if let's say you go on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, There's a store called Bijan. And right outside Bijan, there's like this very bright yellow Rolls Royce, and it's very customized. And you can't even walk into Bijan because it's by appointment only. But again, they've chosen to just be super exclusive. But ultimately, for our listeners, what you're saying, Sean, the experience, what do you want as an experience? And frankly, they do openly just are aloof. And if that's your brand, that's great. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to have what you're saying, this more affordable luxury, that's great. But our listeners, hopefully you know that it really comes down to experience. And so let's dive even deeper about this experience. What are some of the most common errors and mistakes that you see consistently, even with big brands, that they don't do from this experience from the very first moment they see your brand?
Well, we have a little phrase. We talk about don't fake it, force it, or fudge it. So the first mistake of faking it is, you know, the brand team or the marketing team come up with a great tagline. So for example, in the UK, we have a bank called Lloyds Bank, and its tagline is by your side, meaning, you know, we're on your side. But all of their behavior negates that proposition, because everything they do is certainly not customer focused. So the first thing is don't fake it. The second thing I'd say is don't force it. And by that, I mean constantly announcing or communicating your differentiation. One of my clients used to say to me, you know, don't tell me how funny you are, tell me a joke. And I think the metaphor is for that is as a brand, as an organization, don't keep on telling people what you're about. Demonstrate it through the experience so that they get it. And the last thing is about fudging it. And fudging it is saying one thing but doing another. So a great example of that was the tragedy in the Gulf of Mexico with BP that positioned itself as an environmentally friendly company. It, when push came to shove, failed to invest in the technology that prevented the oil spill and prevented, you know, that tragedy in terms of the environmental, and it cost them billions. VW falsifying their emissions data is another example of fudging it. So when you start down the path of creating a brand experience, it has to be with a high level of commitment, and it has to be driven from top to bottom through the organization.
Yeah, and it's also, given that we're in a digital world, I'm curious, what are some of the differences? Because you've been doing customer service quite some time. Mm-hmm. What do you feel are some of the main differences that brands need to get right digitally? It's one thing to have this brand strategy and experience on a macro strategy level, but from a very tactical day by day, what are some things that just from a digital standpoint that you suggest brands do with in terms of having this experience?
Well, I think the first thing is to make it as easy as possible, because I think when people are online or if they're calling in to a call center, what they don't want to do is to spend a lot of time. They have a very low threshold. So make it as easy as possible. And I think a brilliant example of that is Amazon. I mean, Amazon's purpose is to be the Earth's most customer-centric company. And all that it has done over the last 20 years or so has been about trying to make it easier and more intuitive and faster for customers. And the profits have followed. And we've seen them to become, you know, along with Apple, the most profitable brand in the world. So make it really easy. But at the same time, what you want to do is to inject some of the personality into the experience, some of the brand personality. So give an example of that. We were working with PayPal some years ago, and PayPal, the online payment system, and their brand values at that time were all about safe, simple, secure. So you want to make things, you know, really simple, very safe, and very secure. And I'm sure we've all had that experience of shopping online or making a transaction online, and you click something and you expect something to happen and it doesn't. There's no acknowledgement or feedback. And you think, oh my goodness, did that not work? Or should I click it again? But if I click it again, will I pay twice? You know, there's that angst, that anxiety. Well, recognizing that, one of the things that PayPal did at that time was, if you click something to make a transaction, you had a little pop-up that basically said, sweet, it worked. So it kind of brings a smile to your face. It takes all the anxiety away, and it's very much on brand. And so I think it's about getting that balance between making it easy and at the same time making it a distinctive experience.
Sean, that is perfect advice, because as you know, when you travel a lot, I've literally traveled all around the world, and you go out on certain websites in Europe or other places, and it's like more, yeah, it's just ridiculous how, as an American, trying to book something online and I don't know who the person is, but the customer experience is not easy. I don't know if it is safe, and I don't know if it even works.
Yeah, exactly. And there's all that anxiety that goes along with that. Yeah, you talked about airlines, and you know, like you, I travel and speak all over the world. I mean, I think the airline market is a great example. You know, on the one hand, you've got some fabulous brands like Southwest that have been about the only airline that's been profitable for the last 45 years or so because of the experience, but it's very stripped down. It's not expensive, it's not luxury, but it's a great experience. And so that's a good example, I think, of you know, an experience doesn't always have to be high end. It doesn't have to be luxury. It just has to be true to the brand.
Well, the one last thing I'll add, I mean, I'm going to literally call out Ryanair because I travel a lot and it was like a last minute flight. And then when it got to the flight thing, they said, oh, you have to pay like some kind of fee because you didn't log on online. I'm like, where is that? And it's like little tiny font size on my thing. And I don't know this. I just booked it. And I was just like so angry. It's like, that's like the worst experience. And now there's 75,000 listeners from all around the world, from 92 countries, Ryanair, that knows you have a horrible experience as a customer. And I travel all around the world. So what I'm saying is I will amplify this because it was the worst experience. And I asked them, look, I didn't know this. This is my first time. So this is a perfect example of how when you have a platform and you do bad things, now we're in a digital world where Ryanair, I said it three times, horrible customer experience. And even though they're quite well known, but I'm like, I don't want to ever fly them again. But Sean,
you know, the funny thing about that, Christopher, is you have just done Ryanair a favor. I'm Michael O'Leary, the chief executive, a favor. Why? Well, because Ryanair's proposition is about being cheap as chips. It's about being really low cost. Yeah. And they don't invest in marketing. They don't invest in advertising. So they rely on getting the word out there about being cheap as chips through people talking about them. And so when I speak about them in a negative way, as you just have, actually what that's doing is reinforcing their brand positioning, which is they're cheap as chips. And people get on and they don't expect a great experience. They expect it to be awful. And guess what? They're not disappointed.
Wow. Again, okay. So Ryanair, good job. But Sean, thank you so much. Again, you added some very, very great value to our podcast and listeners. How can our guests stay in touch with you and connect and learn and hire you?
Well, they go to www.smithcoconsultancy.com is our website. And there's a whole bunch of guides and thought papers and free stuff on there if they're interested in what I've been talking about.
Great. Sean, thanks again for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Christopher. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.